Welcome to Power and Pride, everyone. I'm your host, Jay Quinton. Today's episode is The Scary Truth About America's Human Trafficking. There is no state in our nation immune to the trafficking of human beings for commercial sex or forced labor. So, what is human trafficking? That's what we're going to talk about. So let's start there with how it's kind of defined so that we're all thinking about the same types of crime and same types of victims. So the National Institute of Justice, the NIJ, describes it in two parts, and I'm going to give you the summed up version here. But the first basically is sex trafficking. So Commercial Sex Act induced by force, fraud, or coercion. That's the short version there. And number two, forced labor. So recruiting, harboring, transporting, or receiving of a person for labor, essentially involuntary debt, bondage, or slavery. So again, those two main kind of categories for human trafficking, which is sex trafficking and forced labor. And sometimes, as you'll see, as it breaks down, sometimes it's both. So, and kind of an interesting note here, and something that I definitely learned as I was researching for this episode, and human or sex trafficking should not be confused with human smuggling. As it were, the trafficking, actually, you don't need to transport anybody anywhere. They usually do in some way, but that doesn't constitute a crime or not if you transport them. So there need only to be exploitation of a person after they have been coerced or deceived. So again, no transportation is necessary. And in human smuggling, usually the person being smuggled is there voluntarily. So they want to be smuggled. They may end up in places and conditions that they don't want to be in, but essentially they wanted to be smuggled from point A to point B. So that is a big difference between the two, between human trafficking and human smuggling. So we're going to continue with human trafficking. And according to the Department of Defense, trafficking of women and girls is the fastest growing crime. They report that incidents reported between 2015 and 2016, which, by the way, those are the most recent stats. Like many crime stats, they're a few years behind. But the trafficking of women and girls is the fastest growing crime. The incidents reported between 2015 and 16 went up 35%. And between 2012 and 2016, it actually went up 130%. And that's for women and girls. So let's talk about kind of the what, the how, and the why for some perspective, right? So if you think about it, it's scary that it's just in a few years, it goes up 130% for women and girls. That's part of that scary truth that we should let sink in. So, okay, so the what or the act, and you'll find this in different places where they talk about the elements of trafficking. So a lot of them refer to it as the act, and in my mind, that's kind of the what. So that would be the recruiting, the transportation, the harboring, or receiving of a person. And then they talk about the how or the means, which is typically through force, coercion, abduction, fraud, deception, abuse of power or vulnerability, or giving payments or benefits to a person in control of a victim. So that's the means or the how. And then the why or the purpose is for prostitution of others, for sexual exploitation, forced labor or services, or slavery. So it's kind of the what they do, how they do it, and why. So traffickers are taking people against their will, and through one means or another are forcing them into commercial sex or fraud. And commercial sex is basically sex for money, prostitution, and the like. So how much does this really happen in America? Because that's what we're here to talk about. And we'll discuss that, exactly how much that happens, right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, friends. We're talking about the scary truth of human trafficking in America. And unfortunately, these victims are being exploited for the pure greed of money. I mean, that's what this is all about. It's not about the sex or the labor. It's really about the money made from those things and the pure supply and demand. So there's a lot of websites out there and places that keep track of this kind of thing. But I'll quote equalitynow.org. And there's a big asterisk next to these numbers because I don't think anybody really, really truly knows the dollars on this. But they report sex trafficking is a $99 billion a year industry, billion with a B. And trafficking forced labor is $51 billion. Annually. So that's an insane amount of money that is made annually on trafficking for sex and trafficking for forced labor. So the Urban Institute estimates that the range of money is from basically $39.9 million out of Denver to $290 million in Atlanta. And basically everything in between in every state. With the National Human Trafficking Hotline calling out California, Texas, and Florida as the top three states for reported trafficking victims so far in 2019, anyways. And so they're not, that's not keeping track necessarily of the money, that's the victims and the cases. So California, number one, Texas, number two, Florida, number three so far in this year in 2019. As of August, I believe. And, you know, diving even more into this, when we think about the people and the money, is the International Labor Org, the or otherwise known as the ILO, and humanrights.org, both report that about 24.9 million people are trafficked globally every year. And of those 24.9 million people, 71% are women and girls, 29% are men and boys, and all of that together, about 25% are under the age of 18 or are minors. So if you think about the growth of this industry, which sounds horrible to say, and how much more women and girls are being trafficked now in the last few years, and they're already 71% of the of this really obscene business, and they're victims, of course. So how many victims and traffickers are here in America, living right here among us? Well, according to Polaris, they have a great website, polarisproject.org. So according to Polaris, they say in 2017, there were over 10,000 victims, about 8,700 human trafficking cases, about 4,800 potential traffickers, and about 1,700 trafficking businesses. So, you know, I'm throwing out a lot of numbers here. We're talking about a lot of stuff here, but 10,000 victims. And really 10,615, according to Polaris, that are known victims. You know, this doesn't count all of the, missing people out there that are suspected to be, you know, trafficked. There's 10,000 people right here in our own neighborhoods, in our own state, in our own counties, that are being trafficked. And again, scary part is there's about almost 5,000 people trafficking that they know of. And then of course the businesses like the massage parlors and stuff like that, that traffic these girls for sex. So of the suspected traffickers who were charged with the crime in 2015, so they were actually defendants, 94% of them were U.S. citizens. And I think that's an important note because I had some misconceptions, and I know that I get the feeling that when this is talked about in the news nationally and locally, that for some reason you get the impression that people are coming from, you know, Mexico or other countries and taking Americans and forcing them into forced labor or commercial sex and into other countries or within the states. But really, 94% of the traffickers are U.S. citizens. So I think that's important to make sure that we are don't have tunnel vision and that we know who the predators are. And of those, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, 88% of the defendants were male, 57% were white, 24% black, 17% Hispanic. And of course, this only includes the defendants, so the people that were caught. This doesn't include everybody else or the people that are out there or were never caught or charged. So let's have the 10,000 plus victims on our minds for the next 60 seconds as we take this short break. Be right back. All right, everyone, thanks for taking that break to think about those 10,000 plus victims just in that 1 year. This is Power and Pride, and I'm Jay Quinton. So now let's talk about some of the signs that you might come into contact with. There's a lot of websites out there that talk about human trafficking and sex trafficking and what to be aware of. So if you just Google or Bing or whatever your search engine is, human trafficking and signs. A bunch of stuff comes up that I think was good. I pulled a few, and I'll just lay them out here briefly. So I wanted to start with first the trafficker. So a handful of signs here you might see if somebody is a trafficker. And again, only signs. It doesn't mean that if any one of these things, you see it in somebody that they're trafficking, sex workers. So take the whole context into mind here. So they could be overly jealous, controlling, or a violent person. If you see a young person with a significantly older companion, so that older companion could be the trafficker. Someone who makes promises that seem too good to be true, whether in person, online, a dating site, whatever. Let's see. They're pushy or demanding about sex or the types of sex acts they want to engage in. And let's just pick another one here. Encourages inappropriate sexual behavior. And this list can go on and on and on. And one thing that I found interesting is that, pimps really is what they are, and that are pimping these girls against their will, find their victims everywhere. I mean, they find it through their own social networks, through other friends. They find them online in various ways, either, again, gaming sites, dating sites, just regular old social media. They find their victims in their own neighborhoods, people that they can groom and get close to, in bars, in schools, etc. So let's shift gears here and talk about some possible signs of someone you know is a victim. And I'll say this, there's a great website called sharedhope.org that has actually a bunch of different resources. I recommend that you check that out. And they have no affiliation with Power and Pride or me. But I just thought they had a lot of good info and resources that you could take a look at. So one of the things that they say is that the most common ages that people get victimized, or when they first get trafficked into either sex or forced laborers, is between the ages of 14 and 16. It happens at all ages, but that's kind of the vulnerable age there. So some of the signs, they, first of all, if they tell you they are with someone against their will or are forced to have sex with strangers, that would be a big red flag and a big sign that there's something that we should do there to help them. You may see physical signs like bruises, burns, cuts. They may start to have unexplained absences from school or from work. If they're normally dressed pretty normal and they start to be less appropriately dressed than before, that could be a sign. If they start to have sexualized behavior, maybe they hang out with a new crowd with a different lifestyle than what this person usually hangs out with. And then something I thought was interesting too is new tattoos of money, names, or barcodes. A lot of times, apparently, pimps will essentially brand their victims with signs of money or their name or their code names or barcodes to essentially brand them. So those are some signs, again, just signs, if someone may be a victim. And some of the risk factors, so if you take those signs into account and some of these risk factors that are outlined, if they were sexually abused previously, they could be victimized again or more vulnerable. People in the or youth in the foster care system, unfortunately, can become victims if you're runaway or homeless. So those are some of the signs. And again, they are just signs, right? So while researching this horrible, horrible crime, I came across a case that outlined human trafficking. It was on FBI.gov, and there was actually a handful of videos that talked about the case from different perspectives, from the victim's perspective, from the detective, and so on. And, you know, I watched the videos. I won't play them here because I don't have the rights to play them here. I didn't ask for permission. So, you know, get on that old Google search or your favorite search engine. You could probably find it. It was on FBI.gov. But, you know, one of the videos that I watched was the detective who worked the David DeLay case. And David DeLay was convicted in April of 2018, I want to say, for multiple counts of trafficking. And so he's serving 33 years in prison because of it. But some of the stuff that she talked about, her name was Natalie D'Amico. I probably said that wrong, so I apologize. I don't know her personally. I've never met her. But Natalie D'Amico was the detective out of Redmond, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle. And she talks about how this trafficker was a master manipulator, basically. He preyed on these girls' vulnerabilities. So all of his victims, whatever their vulnerable piece was, he could manipulate that. So if they wanted to be famous, he could basically sell them on how they were going to be famous. If they were going to be models, he can sell them on that. If they wanted to be, you know, rich or whatever the case was, he could sell them on that. And he was a master manipulator, preying on girls who, you know, needed a way out or, again, were just vulnerable. And then he, you know, forced them into commercial sex. Some of them, you know, actually thought that he cared about them. Some of them thought that he was their boyfriend. I think how it all ended was one of the victims made her way out before she was forced she had been forced to have sex, but at one meeting where she was supposed to meet with a guy, she made it out before the guy showed up and was able to get to her mother, who thankfully took her seriously and called the police, and it was investigated and the guy was caught. So great work by, I believe it was Seattle and Redmond police departments. And I'm sure the FBI had a piece in there, but great work there and probably saved a lot of victims and potential victims, because this guy wouldn't have stopped. So another case that's probably more recent, the Epstein case, right? So there's a lot that still needs to come out about that, but essentially he was trafficking young girls, minors, for sex, not only for himself, because he was a pedophile, but also for high profile clients, which a lot of that's, you know, debated, and they're still working out what really was going on there and who the clients were. But essentially he actually did this once in Florida. He was caught, he was let off the hook, and of course he didn't stop. And so, he ended up getting caught again. Eventually, if you believe what was reported, he killed himself. And if you wear a tinfoil hat and into conspiracy theories, then, you know, somebody had him killed while he was in jail. So no one really knows yet, other than what's been reported. So there's that case as well. So if you want to learn a little bit more about how these guys work and how people can get swooped up into becoming victims, Google either one of those cases or any of the thousands of others that are out there. Okay, so let's talk a little prevention. And first, I want to throw these numbers out there to you so that you can add them to your Rolodex. Yes, I said Rolodex. For those millennials that don't know what a Rolodex is, put this in your phone under your contact. So we have the National Human Trafficking Hotline. They're available 24/7. 1-888-373-7888. Or you can go online and look them up and the numbers there, but the National Human Trafficking Hotline, 1-888-373-7888. Or you can text Be Free, which is 233-733. And the other number is the UNODC, which is 1-800-843-5678. So let's go through these takes real briefly here. So number one, they're not really in any particular order, just some of the takes from what we talked about. So number one is really look for suspect behaviors, as we discussed. And in addition to those behaviors, also, you know, people following women and children in stores or in parking lots, or trying to lure away young children from their parents while their parents are distracted. Number two, look for signs of victim behavior, as we talked about, and report it if you suspect trafficking. So, you know, listen, not everybody's going to come right out and say what's happening, or they might not even really understand what's happening, especially if they're younger and are being manipulated. Three, protect yourself and family. Keep a close eye on children. I think that obviously goes without saying, but when you're in a public space, that's when people are looking to get your kid to follow them away. There's been great, you know, I forget which shows, probably 2020, I'm going to guess 60 Minutes, where, and probably others. I know there's some local news stuff too, where they will, you know, test the parents and their kids and go to a park, and, you know, the parents know what's going on, but they see if they can, you know, even kids that have been taught not to talk to strangers or take candy from strangers, how these, you know, strangers, these journalists can take the kids with the promise of candy or money, you know, away from the park and into a van. So just keeping an extra eye on kids in public, and don't walk distracted to your car as you park in a, hopefully in a safe, well-lit place, as they always tell you. But, you know, with the advent of phones and all of that, we're all, you know, got computers in our hands and the internet, and we're walking to our cars, you know, looking down. I'm guilty of it too. So let's not be distracted as we walk to our cars. through the parking lots, because that's when, again, in the abduction scenarios, that's how some of those happen. And then four, know who you and your kids are talking to on social media and online gaming platforms. A lot of those things that we talked about, people can pretend to be whoever they want to be online, and that's how they can deceive your kids or you. Whether it's through a dating site, they can pretend to be male, female. They can pretend to be 12 years old. They can pretend to be 60 years old. You don't know when you're just typing on a keyboard and, people can post whatever picture they want and tell you whatever story they want. So be diligent there about who you're talking to, and probably even more important, who your children are having conversations with. Predators look for those opportunities. And then finally, number five, you can host events in your community to build awareness and to breach this topic with your neighbors, so that everybody is aware. There's a few websites out there. Again, I think sharedhope.org was one of them also, but where they can walk you through and talk to you about how, or give you suggestions on how to run an event for your community or your neighborhood or your block. Okay, so those were my takes. I would love to hear from you and get your takes. You can message us on Facebook.com/Power and Pride Podcast, or you can at me, right? At Power and Pride Podcast. You can listen to us anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening right this second. We'll be there. You can find us. So until then, this is Power and Pride. And I'm your host, Jay Quinn. Until next time.